طيب السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, I want to finish the Trinity and then maybe if we have time we'll do Shia Sunnah and then we'll close with some tips on follow. Now, and your question. So remind me, inshallah. Now, a number of things, because, you know, obviously even though we had 2 days together, we're still, even if I had 3 days, there's still going to be issues where you're going to say that guy ripped us off because he didn't talk about this or this or this or this or that. So, there's one website, it's probably, as far as I know, you could suggest any other one. It's basically, if you want to find refutation against Baha'is, all right, Ahmadis, Habish, or whatever it is, whatever it is, you go to allahuakbar.net. Allahuakbar.net. So you go to that, and you find refutations for every Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. Just about, it's not very thorough, but, you know, it's one of the good ones out there. I mean it's better than nothing, I say. That's probably better. So, allahuakbar.net. So now there would be certain issues that I will not cover. You can try to find it at allahuakbar.net. There are some fine points on the slides that I skipped. You can also get the how to get the Shahada 10 minutes online. Many websites have it. You know, listen maybe to the later parts, part 3, 4, 5 maybe, and get more of the info. So let's continue. We want to discuss the Trinity. So we're saying now, it's not just about, these are the arguments to throw at the Trinitarian Christian. It's about trying to understand the mindset that they're in that allowed them to believe in something like the Trinity. I mean, it doesn't make sense. They don't really understand it. They don't. I mean, understand is different from belief. Believe, yeah. They believe in it, but they don't really understand it. The Pope doesn't understand it. Like I always say, right now he's sitting in the Vatican and he's saying, how does that thing work again? Because he doesn't know. Because it's a concept no one can explain. And sometimes we challenge people, give me anything in this life that's three and it's still one. And so what do? They give you the egg analogy. And they tell you, oh, it's like an egg composed of three things, but it's one. The yolk, the white, the shell, three things, one egg. Now, who has not heard that before? The egg. Okay, so someone who has not heard it, refute it. How would you refute it? Tell you it's like an egg, three things, but it's one egg. So the three, God, Father, Spirit, Son, but it's still, you haven't heard it before? Yeah. You have heard it before? Never. Let's go.
But you can separate the components. You can take this away and this away and this away.
Excellent. Very good. Anyone else want to add to that? Yes? Uh-huh. Okay, so the brother is saying they have different, each one has a different quality. One is hard, one is soft, one is gooey, you know. So, but the sister said, the minute you physically separate the components, it's not one thing anymore. You're talking to me about a God physically that was on earth, another one physically in the heavens. Even if they're both physically in the heavens, they're separate, right? Because in the books of other Acts or Revelations, it tells you that God will say, you know, to Jesus, come and sit at my right hand. Sit at my right hand. So they have the God in the center commanding one to sit to the right. Even then, they're physically separate. So they can't be. There's nothing on earth that's separate but one. And the whole one in essence thing, it just doesn't work. If anybody ever tells you, look, they're one in essence, and they're both God, so they're one. So I put three bottles of water on the table, you can say there's one bottle, because in essence it's all plastic, blue wrapper, water inside. Like I said, just let them give you, you know, again, let them lend you some money compared to the dunya. Lend me $500. You give him $100. And where's the rest? It's one in essence. Oh, green paper. It's got that guy on it. Oh, maybe it's not green. I keep thinking that I'm in the state. What color is the 100 here?
Brown.
There you go. Brown. You know, they're all brown. No problem. Who's on it here? There's no guy on the cover. Okay, that's good. We have snow on it. Okay. Same thing, what if they tell you the flame, whatever they tell you, you break them apart and they're different. At the same time, they have different qualities. But what if they tell you, and this actually with the five missionaries, the He said, listen, they tried the egg, we broke the egg apart, it didn't work. So one of them said, look, it's like water, right? Water, one, but it can be solid, the Father, liquid, the Son, gas, the Spirit. So who has not heard that before? So those who have not heard it, how do you refute it? Yes,
Richard? They all have different properties.
They all have different properties. They're not really co-equal. Okay, what else?
One molecule can only be in one state at one time. Water
can be in only one state in each time. But actually, they say that actually under extreme laboratory conditions, they can be. But they don't know that. They can still use it. Now?
It's called triple point.
Oh, man. Triple point. Dr. Lahan didn't know that. Thank you. So we have to show up with that from now on. Now they refer to it as triple point. Like, I know all this stuff, you know. Thank you very much, sir. What do you study again?
I finished studies.
Oh, you finished? Okay. Yeah. So the brother has got a major in physics and a minor in the spirit affairs of the Ummah. He said it's called triple point. It's an extreme laboratory condition where water can be solid, liquid, and gas at the same time. That looks weird. How does that look? Okay. So, there's one problem with it. The water comparison, this is what we told them. The water comparison is an example of one in three. It's not three in one. It's water in three different states. And that's what we told her. I said, listen, I understand what you're trying to do, but you're using an example of one in three to explain three in one. We agreed the Trinity was three in one, so you can't use one in three to explain it. She said, oh, you're right. So when they exhausted every method and every explanation, in the end she said, look. She said, look, the truth is, it's just an issue of blind faith. And we just have to believe it. When she said blind faith, the others, they cringed a little bit. And he said, well, one of them tried to fix it. He said, look, it's not blind faith. And that's what we told her, look, in Islam. Remember, low point, high point. So low point, she made this admission, look, it's blind faith. But look, in our religion, we don't have issues that are blind faith. Especially the most important issues that are clear and understandable. So then one of the guys said, look, it's not really blind faith, it's just that, and your famous excuse, God is the author. I mean, he said God works in, the Lord works in mysterious ways. So we said, but biblically it says God is not the author of confusion. So where is this confusion coming from? I'll give you another example. What happened here? What did I do? Okay. Ahmed. You know, where was I going with this before Ahmed interrupted me?
Mysterious ways.
I was going to reference another story. Yes, there was a family, born Muslim, their whole life they were Muslim, their children were Muslim. Their oldest daughter decided to become a Christian. And she became a Christian. She used to read the Quran and everything, became a Christian. And they took her to one person to speak to her, and he basically got into a fight with her. So she said, I'm not speaking to any Muslim anymore. I'm Christian, and that's it. So they spent months trying to convince her, talk to one more guy. Then she said yes. Then they called Mia. I mean, look at that pressure. Our daughter became Kafir, right? And she said she's never going to talk to any Muslim again, except one last time, and you're that guy. No pressure, Yanni. Come talk to her. I didn't think, like, I have some kind of miracle that I'm just going to... So, now, to make matters worse, she, when the day we're supposed to meet and her two brothers go talk to her, she brings the leader of their church, their priest, the main guy, to sit there and debate with him. So now I'm supposed to convince her or debate him. How does that work? So what happened? We made an agreement with her brothers that they're going to try to occupy the guy in the beginning. Give me at least 10 minutes to ask her. So we went to same place, but dining area is over here, but you can still see us. So I started off by asking her this question. I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how badly do you want to know the truth? 10 being really strongly, and 1, you know, not so much. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to know the truth? Now, I really didn't care what number she said to me. I didn't care at all. Why? You could explain. Yes, sister?
You hear about maybe the thing.
That's possible. Yes, you're right. What else? Sister in the back? No? Yes, sir?
You wanted to see if she was convinced 100% that she was on the truth.
Uh-huh. Jazakallah khair. That's all I cared about. I didn't care if she said 1 or 3 or 7 or 9. It didn't matter what number she said. Because if she said any number, she's really telling me I'm not upon the truth. If she said 2, which is really low, but it's really saying I still don't believe I'm upon the truth. That's all I cared about. I didn't care what the number was. I just wanted to find out how lost, how far gone is she. So just like the brother said, Jazakallah khair, she said, I actually have the truth. So now I know what I'm dealing with. So anyways, we spoke a little bit and then we went and we had to talk to that, and I had to talk to her in front of this guy. So I said, my only hope here is to get him to admit a number of times that the Islamic concept is better than the Christian in front of her. Hopefully that will move her. But nothing moved her. She was going to marry his son. I said, yeah, she was. I said that one time and the sisters in the audience said, that's the issue right there. I said, yeah, but he wasn't practicing and he didn't ask her to become Christian. They said, nah, that's the issue right there. And it was all related to the guy, possibly. Anyway, the point is, we sat down with this guy. First question was, how does this Trinity thing work? And he didn't waste any time. He said, look, nobody really knows how it works. Nobody really understands how it works. Saved me a lot of time. So now, low point, I'm coming with the high point. So I said, okay. Why would Allah reveal something that you can't understand and link it to your salvation? I mean, does that sound fair? Allah reveals something that humans can't understand and say, by the way, the only way to salvation is through believing in this thing that doesn't make sense to you. It's really not fair. And it's like some, I know it's an extreme example, but like someone comes in this room and he says, you know, he was going to, you know, do this certain thing, or, you know, let's just say rob everybody in the room. That's violent. I'm going to rob everyone in the room except those of you who can levitate in the air for over 1 minute. Now, you linked me being saved from your robbery to something that I can't do as a human being. Is that fair? It's not fair. And probably the only one who won't get robbed in the room is me. Right, Ahmed? Levitate? Yeah, there you go. No, not because I can love, because I actually don't have any money to rob. But the point is, it's not fair to link it to something you can't do. So why would Allah reveal something and link it to your only way of salvation? So then he started to give me some gibberish about, you know, the mystery and all mystery. And I thought, look, you can't accept mystery when it comes to your salvation. Yani, if Allah is going to show me the path to Jannah, people, that path has to be clear. It can't be in a maze. It can't be. We talk about salvation, ya akhi. It's not a joke. The message of Allah has to be clear so that the severely intellectual person can get it. But also the very simple human being who is of sane mind can get it as well. That's what Tawheed. Everybody can understand Tawheed. Smart, not so smart, they can understand it. Everyone can understand Tawheed. So, because it's the message of salvation. Now there are issues not everyone in the Ummah can understand. You know, Islamic finance gets intricate. You know, what if, imagine, the only way to go to Jannah is to understand Islamic finance. Man, see, it's not fair. So the easy thing is your road to Jannah. So anyway, so and actually he said, and I said this was the question, I said, look, which one of these is easier, makes more sense to you? That there's only one God who does not have relatives or children, he's indivisible, or the Christian version. I'm not saying which one do you like more, which one do you believe in. I'm saying which is easier to comprehend. The Islamic version of one God who doesn't have children or relatives or neighbors or grandparents or anything, or the Christian one of three gods physically separated yet they're one. One of them dies for 3 days instead of becoming two, they're still one. Which is easier to comprehend? And he said in front of the girl, quote, the one that is more intellectually satisfying is the Muslim version. And I got him to admit a number of points in front of her that the one in Islam is better. Right? And we trapped him a number of times in front of her. But you know what? She was on his side. You know, it's what's our guy going to say to him? So my arguments didn't come through all the way like, you know, that you would expect. So, I mean, a lot of times people ask me what happened in the end. I mean, I can't work miracles. I mean, it's up to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And as far as I knew, she was still upon that. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide him. If whomever he allows to go astray, none can guide him except Allah Azza wa Jalla. She actually said this to the first imam that spoke to her. She said, you know, I used to read the Quran, then I started to read the Bible, then I started to pray to Allah to guide me. So the one of them that's the truth. So she said, why did Allah guide me to the Bible then? You see that question? What are you going to tell her? How would you answer that? Yeah?
Was it really God?
Okay, how do you know it was God? Well, I prayed to him. What else? Yes, sir. He's testing everyone? Testing you, Yani? Possibly. What else?
You prayed to a shaitan?
Possibly, but you said I prayed to God. Yeah?
How do you know that you weren't misguided to the Bible rather than guided to the Bible?
Jazakallah khair. Yeah, very good. I mean, all these are good answers, and they're all possible answers. That Imam actually told her, he said to her, you know, he tells her, Allah punished you. Because you were born into the truth, knew the Qur'an, and knew his religion. Like so many people, they go through journeys and suffering and reading to find the truth. He made you born into it. He had you born into it, and the truth was in front of your eyes your whole life, and you started going elsewhere, looking for it. So it was a punishment to Allah for you. It was a bit harsh, I knew they got into it a little bit. But anyways, but the point of that was that the leader of their church, we were able to end the whole Trinity issue and get them to admit that the Islamic system was better within a few minutes. We still didn't open this book and chapter this and chapter that. It's a can of worms. It doesn't end. You know, it doesn't end. Now, for those of you who are interested in getting to learn these things, I still recommend, no matter how well versed you are, that you don't get into it biblically with people. It just doesn't end. You know, so many times we've had discussions on Trinity and it ended in a few sentences. But the minute you open that Bible, it doesn't end in a few sentences. It just keeps going on and on. You give them this verse, oh yeah, but it's linked to the other verse. Well, actually, there is no link, but that's their excuse. Then you give them a verse to refute that. Well, this explanation, that's not how I understood this verse. It doesn't end, you know. So what you're going to do, you want them to think, ask a few questions and get them to think outside of the box. The minute they step out, it's easier to talk to them, for them to see all the other flaws. You know? It's easier for them to see all the other flaws. That's why with a lot of people, when we discuss Trinity, we ask these questions, they get them to think outside the box. You know, one in three, three in one, how many gods were there? Why is there no explicit mention of Trinity, even though it's the most important thing? We try to give analogies, we break them apart. So now they start to see, by the way, and one of the scholars in the field of rhetorical criticism, anyone study communications here? Okay, I really wonder what you guys study. That's great. Okay. He studied conversion theory. Or he formed something called conversion theory. He studied when people convert from anything to anything else. From Republican to Democrat, from this to that, from Muslim to, from Christian to Muslim. And in his study of analyzing what happens to people mentally, he came up with the first step is it involves the breakdown in one's own belief system. See? And so it's someone who starts to doubt his belief in Christianity, and then he might accept more of what you tell him about Islam. If he's still rock solid here, it might take longer for him to get it to take a nicer look at Islam. So that's why when you ask these questions, you first get them to step outside of that box. So look, this is what you're believing in. It's a problem. You've probably all seen that guy who manages the rat temple. You know, that in India, he's got that temple and all these rats, and he feeds them, and they're just all over him, just thousands of rats. And you know, when you look at it outside of the box, you're like, what on earth? Because you're outside of the box. But inside of the box, he's like, these are my reincarnated brothers. So inside the box, it's different. Outside the box, it's a different story. Get him to step outside of the box. He'll see that, hey, You're not holy. You're just hanging around with a bunch of rats. That's all you're doing. You know? That's outside of the box. That's what it is. So, okay. Let me give you some you know, I'm reluctant to spend the rest of my time on Trinity because the arguments are there. Okay, is that too bad if we skip all the little arguments that are already available online? Is it too bad? Okay, great. It's not too bad. So I'm skipping that. I'm going to ask you one question here. Have you heard of transmigration? Transmigration? Basically, it's kind of like reincarnation. Someone who believes that you can be, you know, if you don't accumulate enough good karma, in the next life you can become like a rat or a snail or something like that. But then you can also become a human again. There's hope. You can become a human again. So give me some questions about that. Yes, sir?
How does a snail accumulate good karma?
There you go. You know? And there's actually, you know, when you work closely sometimes with classmates, you got to give them some da'wah. We had this group project, so in the end I gave everybody a booklet on Islam. And then one of them said, actually, I'm a Buddhist. That's my religion. So I asked her, do you believe in transmigration and stuff? She said, yeah. I said, okay, I'm not trying to be funny, but I need to, you know, can you go from human to rat and back to human again? She said, yeah. I said, okay, now I'm not trying to be funny. I need you to explain to me, what kind of activities does a rat do to get good karma and become a human in the next life? And does the rat wake up and say, today I won't steal any cheese? What does he do, this rat? Seriously, what does this rat do to become a good rat? You know? So he can become a human in the next life. The minute I asked her that question, a minute ago she said, that's my religion. The minute I asked her that question, she said, well, it's not really a religion, it's a philosophy. I said, huh, is that what it is? Okay, so how about this? Who has heard of five percenters?
What?
Five percenters? So one time this five percenter gave me a ride to my car. He's telling me on the way. It's just, who wants to explain what five percenters are? Yes, sir. That's it.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but they believe that 5% of them are God and they're usually rappers.
I love how you put it, it's excellent. Yeah, they're weird like that. They say like they're the, you know, the 5% of the population that really knows what's going on. Yeah?
They believe in the Quran and the Bible. Mm-hmm. They say that Allah is five fingers or something.
Arm, leg, yeah. Arm, yeah. Head. okay.
What?
I mean, they say Allah is human. You know, what's a human? Two arms, two legs, and a head. So they say Allah is actually arm, leg, arm, head. Imagine it was just spelled differently. Then what? Your whole theory goes out the window. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So anyways, the point is, this 5% is giving me a ride to my car. And, you know, so I'm giving you an example of when you hear something that you never heard before, how do you refute it? You know that it's not true. It's got to have holes in it. If it has holes in it, you got to find the holes. That's it. That's all you do. All right? And you know you're upon the truth. So if you're not upon the truth, you're upon falsehood, and you have holes in your belief system. All I have to do is dig, examine, ask questions, and I'll find the holes. So this guy's giving me a ride to my car. He's saying, look, you know, actually, I'm God. You're God. We're all God. You don't have to worship anybody. We're God. I said, okay, what makes you God? He said, human beings are divine because of their higher intelligence. Because they're above animals, they understand, they can communicate in intricate detail. That's why we're God. All right, so go ahead and refute that. Even though you never heard it before. Someone new. Ridwan, go ahead. Oh, sister. Let me get the sister. Yes, sister. Uh-huh. You heard what the sister said? Some people have, like, are mentally retarded. Is that strong or what? Yeah, I mean, what if you're born with some kind of mental defect and you're not intelligent? What's the ruling in your religion for those people? Are they like cattle? What do we do with them? They're not divine like us. Shall we treat them bad? Make fun of them? What's your ruling there? And that's all I asked him, and the guy, that was it. He was stumped. He never thought of that. What's the ruling? But go on.
Ask him to fly.
Sorry?
Tell him to fly.
Tell him to fly, okay, you're divine. Show me something. Let me push you off the cliff. It's on me. Yeah?
If I'm a god, why am I poor?
Just pull your pockets inside out. Like, what kind of a broke god is this? Yes, sir.
Did we become like more god as we advance, like scientifically, I think? Like,
like were we like less God than our God?
Yeah, I like that. I never heard that one before. You like that? It's great. He's saying, do you become more God as human beings advance? Are they advancing in science and stuff? Are they more God-like than, or are they more of gods than the previous generations? Or if I'm smarter than you, am I more God than you? And what does that mean? Yeah? And what's the ruling? What do I get? Do I get like, you know, what? Do I get free French fries? Or what do I get for being more God than you? And who rewards me for that? Yes, sir?
If we're God and white society is not just, like, then it should be...
Ah, good. So all these people are divine and gods. Why is there so much injustice and killing and gods robbing people? What's going on with these gods? Yes, sir?
If we die, if we're gods, how can we die?
And what kind of God dies? Well, you know, maybe he means it in that you're divine, but not God. God, yes, sir.
Sure. Why do you eat? Why do you drink? Why do you sleep?
Okay. So we're saying we don't have the attributes of God. Yes, sir.
Even bees can communicate very intricately. So why aren't they gods?
Okay. So what about intelligent? You know, intelligence out there. You know, what about a chimp that does something really smart? Is he God for a day, or what happens? Come on.
If you're a God, then why are
we
having this conversation? Why haven't you converted me?
Why haven't you converted me? Why don't you telepathically tell me this stuff? Yes?
So did you, like, I would ask, so were you a God when you were a baby, or at what point did you become God?
Oh, man, I like that argument. You like that argument? Yes, that's good. When do you become God? Because, you know, you said it's because of your intelligence, so you become, at what point exactly? What level of intelligence do you get? Or are you born God? What kind of God do you need? Does that in his diapers, yeah, you know? So at what point do you become God, you know? Yes, sister?
Some animals have an intelligence level of small children.
Okay, right, that's true. Very true. So then what about those? Okay, last. Go ahead.
So during wars, do gods kill more gods?
During wars, gods kill each other. So you look at the attributes of human beings, they don't look, it doesn't fit right, yeah? Who's the servant? Good question. Go ahead.
For all gods, then how on earth are we supposed to, why are we on earth? Why are we not like up in the...
Why aren't we up there somewhere?
Yeah.
What's the purpose of life? Right? Excellent. Right. So I would thank everybody who had your hands up. Sorry we couldn't get to you. We need to... What are the issues left? Shia Sunna. What else?
Right,
what was that?
The right sect.
Okay, and? Yeah? Remind me, sorry. Remind me.
The right hand grasp.
The what, sorry? Oh. Oh-ho. All right. But what if I do this to you? Surely you won't get a bit too upset. IslamQA.com for that question. IslamQA. You know what? So IslamQA... Islam question and answer, IslamQA.com. You go to the search and you write right hand possession, right? And the website does a good job. Yeah. Both actually take you there. Islam-QA.com and IslamQA.com. Both of them will take you there. But yeah, dash. Put the dash and take you there. So that's where we're gonna do that one. And I'm gonna have to tell you Sunna, we really need to do something about that. I was going to tell you that you can go to allahuakbar.net. But let's do quickly, let's do it the same style we did the other ones. Sunni versus Shia. What are the arguments? First of all, which religion did the Prophet ﷺ come with?
Sunni.
Sunni Islam. When did Shia Islam show up?
After the death of the Prophet.
After a number of years when certain political incidents took place. What's one of the main arguments, and of course, to be fair, there are different kinds of Shia, right? But their main argument really is what? Their main argument, just say it. Ali should have been the first Khalif. That's their main argument. Look, one of the mashayikh, don't get me started with this guy. Now you know who it is. He said one time a guy came to debate him about Shia. So a Sunni Shia guy came to debate him. So the Shaykh said, look, I want you to tell me right now, what's the most, look how he ended this issue without opening any book. Okay? outside of that box. He said, what is the most important thing, important message, number one message in your religion, the Shia Islam? He said that Ali should have been the Khalifa. He said, is that mentioned anywhere in the Quran? He said, there's some verses that kind of hint to it. Maybe. He said, okay, let me tell you the most important thing in my religion. The most important thing in my religion is Tawheed. And it's on every single page of the Quran. That's it, that's the argument. You get it? How can this be the most important thing and there's no record of it, no mention of it? Why not? You know? There's so many issues and again, the work has been done, you look it up online, so many strong arguments against it. One claim, of course, is that all the Sahaba, 100,000 plus, they became non-Muslim after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, except for four, and they took the right of Ali from becoming the Khalifa, so Abu Bakr became the Khalifa, and Ali should have been the one who should have been the Khalifa. But we don't have... Okay, go ahead, sorry.
How do we explain it to non-Muslims, because they bring it up a lot?
Okay, how do you explain it to non-Muslims? Jazakallah khair, you're putting us back on track. That was really our main point. Yeah?
Well, we follow the Sunnah of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So anything that doesn't have the Sunnah of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not part of it, or don't follow it.
Okay, so what if you just in a nutshell tell them, look, follow the one that came first. You ever heard the one of the scholar who's supposed to debate the Shia?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So who wants to tell it to us?
Me.
Yeah.
What happened was that one time some of the Shia, they were putting the, they were putting
can together, you hear, sisters?
They were putting together this event.
Hey, how come?
So, was it? Anyways, one time with the Shia, they were putting together this event where they wanted like debate with the Sunni scholars. So the Sunnis only sent like one scholar. And what he did right before he walked into their masjid, into the Shia masjid, was that he took off his shoes and then he put his shoes under his armpit and then he walked across the rug. And so they asked him, you know, why do you have your shoes on your armpits when you can just leave them on the shelf? He said, well, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he once said that never trust a Shia masjid because someone would steal your shoes. So one of the Shia shuyukh, he then responded, there were no Shia during the Prophet's time. Right? So he said, then where did you get your religion? And he left.
Excellent. Yeah? So when you tell the non-Muslim, and if I'm not mistaken, this was an Indian scholar, right? Du Piazza was his name. That's the name of, that's what I know. It's during the reign of Jahnir, I think his name is King. Huh?
Jahmir.
Jahandir? Oh, really? This guy misspelled it for me. All right. So basically, anyway, so the point is, what do you tell the non-Muslim regarding Shia Sunnah? You tell them, you follow the Sunnah of the Prophet. That's the one that came first. The Shia came as a result, as a reaction to some political events that took place. And this is not what was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes?
Couldn't you just say to them that, you know, I mean, it's really more of a political schism, and even in Shia, you know, I mean, they're Muslim, you know, Ja'afri said, at least, they're Muslim, you know, if you ask him, you know, what's the requirement, you know, they'll say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, they'll be attachment after that. But the basic thing is they attest to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a Shia is, a Sunni is basically a Shia, because, right? Linguistically,
the Shia are the ones who supported the Ali, right? And it had a different meaning back then when they said Shia. Some of the Sahaba were Shia in the sense that they supported Ali. Tashayya li Ali supported Ali. But they weren't Shia like today. So yeah, you would generally get them to understand that this is a reaction to some political events. The true Islam is right here, and this is what started first, this is what the Prophet ﷺ taught. And yes, in all fairness, not all Shia are that extreme, but obviously some of them are beyond Islam, and or outside of Islam. But what else do we have? Is this about Shia Sunnah? I have to cut it there. I got, 10 minutes? What was the last thing on the agenda? Yes? Who can come up here and give us a demo of their rundown when they give their da'wah talk? So just nice and non?
There's a microphone.
Oh, great. So when did this come here? So what we're going to do, I want someone to come up here. No pressure, but I want you to be smooth. Don't just roll. Let us know what you tell. There's non-Muslim right there. Just look at him and call him to Allah. Who's going to go first? Only the young people want to do it, huh? I need someone older for this. Not that you guys can't do it. Come on, da'wah people, da'wah table people.
They're shy.
Somebody, yeah? I see his basket is like pushing, yeah, I don't know why. Anybody? Come on, it's not that difficult. You want me to? Okay, I was going to give the first demo, but khalas, come. Thank you. Shiraz. Yeah, just roll like there's a person next to you. Don't look at me. Just look at them and let them have it. I mean, the da'wah. Come a little this way, right?
Yeah.
And he's not looking at me. Keep the camera on him.
Perfect.
So just pretend I'm talking to
him. Yes, he's right there.
Hi, how's it going? What's your name, man? Oh, my name is Shiraz. Nice to meet you. So what's your background? What religion do you follow? Okay, you're Catholic, all right. Just want to, if I could tell you just a few things about Islam. Let me ask you a question first. What do you know about Allah? What's Allah? Okay, Allah is the God of the Muslims, okay.
Let me make it easier a little bit for you. Just go with the explanation. We're assuming that you were gonna ask the questions. But just for our purposes, go ahead with the explanation.
Sure.
You already asked him where is Allah, and you're just going to say Allah is, and just give him the whole rundown.
So Allah is the one God. He is without partners, without any equivalent. He has no sons, no wives, no partners, no intercessors. He is the all-knowing, the all-hearing. He is the most powerful. If you put in your head, if you imagine a picture of Allah, if you said, okay, Allah looks like this, that's not it. If all of humanity got together and decided, okay, God looks like this, and they drew a picture of him, that would not be it. There's nothing more powerful than Allah, and he's the creator of everything. Everything you can see, everything of the seen and the unseen. The ghaib, it's the Arabic for the unseen. And we as Muslims, we worship Allah alone. And when we say we worship Allah alone, that means without partners. That means we don't ask, let's say, a person, a knowledgeable person. We don't ask them. We don't worship them. We don't ask them for help. I think that's mine. we don't worship them. We don't ask them for help. We don't go to a rock and rub it for blessings or anything like that. Now, what do you know about Muhammad? Okay, he's the messenger of Islam. He's the prophet of Islam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That just means sallallahu alaihi wasallam means peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He is the messenger of Allah. That means he brought the message of Islam, the message of God, the way Allah wants us to live our lives, the way Allah wants us to worship him. He was given that by Allah to bring to us, to bring to all of humanity,
okay.
Not just the adults.
I'm interrupting you now. The guy said that I need to leave. Give me your closing statements. He's leaving now, and that's all he got from your message. So what are you leaving with?
Okay, you're leaving. Okay, cool. Just want to ask, are there any more questions you want me to answer quickly? Okay, no? All right. Just have one more question for you. Do you want to become Muslim?
Okay.
Is there any other thing you want me to clarify? And do you want to become Muslim?
Exactly. Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate it. Play, you can actually put that clip on YouTube and say, brother in Calgary speaking to Jin. It would work very well. Well, Shiraz, Jazakallah khair very much. That was very brave of you. And I just wanted everyone to see how easy it is. It's just really, he was just talking to somebody. It was really nice and easy. He's just explaining, as any Muslim, and it doesn't have to be a smooth speech with no stuttering and no stopping and no tripping. It's just you talking to another human being. It's no big deal, you know? So, Jazakallah khair, thank you very much. Anyone else? Just so people get the flow of what it's like.
I don't want to come up though.
You don't?
Can
I give you the microphone?
No, I'll explain my argument.
Uh-huh.
Basically, when you give them at the dawah table, Christian comes up to you, they tell you they're Christian, you ask them about the hierarchy status of the priests.
And what?
The status of the priests. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you that they can't marry, they can't bear children. So then basically they're giving a higher status to their priest than God.
They can't marry the Catholic?
The Catholic priest.
So this is an what is this? Who gives this argument? Students come to you and they say,
yeah,
what?
Say a Catholic comes to you to get your dawah table. They want to ask what is that. So basically, you know, you ask them, you know, about their background, if they're a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Catholic Church, the priests, they can't marry, therefore they can't have children.
Mm-hmm.
But in their religion, God has children. So
right.
Basically, they're giving a higher status to their
okay.
man than God.
Okay. So you're using this as what?
Basically, a refutation of.
A refutation. So
basically,
okay.
Like, because their God has children, but their priest can't have.
Exactly. Fair. Excellent. I think there's a scholar, if I'm mistaken, who's Imam An-Nuri, who made the same argument that you did when he visited the church and. He greeted everybody, and then he went to the big shot and he said, you know, how are you, how are your children? And then everybody got upset, you know, His Holiness, he doesn't have children. So SubhanAllah, you know, he doesn't have children, and you claim that Allah has children. You know, so it's the same argument that you used. It's awful. The thing is this, sorry, one second. So getting back to Jazakallah Khair again, Shiraz, it's just a really simple thing. You're speaking to these people, so this is, I mean, some guidelines here. When you approach people during IAW, you basically, you know, you give them your name, you greet them, ask how they're doing, you know, how are you doing, sir, how are you doing today? My name is so-and-so, and if your name is difficult, you can simplify. I always say, my name is Kamal, it's like Jamal, but with a K. And they'll go, oh, okay. Or like, come one, Kamal. Or kill them all. So, just kidding. So then what happened? Then you know, and then a little bit of explanation of what's going on today. What's going on this week? I also want to sell the rest of this week, right? What's happening on campuses this week? We actually have Islamic Awareness Week. I don't know if you're aware of that, but perhaps you've seen the posters that we've had. Now, if I just say that, he might pay attention now to the post, to the bulletins as he passes by. Might, you know, want to come to our lecture or something like that. So you say, you know, we're having Islamic Awareness Week, you may have seen some of the posters, and we're actually basically out here, this is North Courtyard, right? And we're telling people, you know, we're sharing, you know, telling people about Islam and conversing and talking to fellow students. Let me ask you, do you know much about Islam? He says yes, he says no. I can go anywhere I want. It's relaxed, no script. It's just nice and relaxed. It's just a fellow student. Yeah? Everybody relax, it's just a fellow student you're talking to. It's not like, you know, I can't stutter, I can't make grammatical mistakes, it doesn't matter. You know, you can speak in Ebonics if you want. We be out here, we try to... It doesn't matter. You know, I don't know how to speak Ebonics, but whatever you want. It's just you talking to a fellow student. It's relax. And inshallah, what we'll do, those of you who come and I'm assuming I will be there the whole time, right, Ahmed? Right, Hamza? So basically, you know, feel free. We can go. You can be partners with me. Not that you'll learn anything and phenomenal. We'll just walk around together, just so at least you can see that it's really relaxed. You know, we joke, and a lot of times we have jokes inside our da'wah thing. Like I told you the other day when they say about violence in Islam, I tell them, you know, if Islam commanded us to be violent, we wouldn't be talking right now. We laugh, you know. You talk, and then you could just, you know. And you have 5 minutes, or are you on your way to class, or you have 5 minutes, I'll tell you a little bit about Islam. You know, we're promoting, you can use those little buzzwords, you're promoting peaceful coexistence, we're promoting mutual understanding, whatever it is, that stuff. Just talk, chit-chat, you know? So give them a quick thing, on, you know, we're, and then in America, I don't know how it is in Canada, in America, people don't like when you say, what religion do you belong to? So that's why you always say, and just kind of like Shura said, what's your background? So he might say, my background is Baptist, but I'm not anymore. So that's why when you say background, it makes it a little smoother, you know. So just you introduce yourself, tell them what's happening here. It's Islam Awareness Week. You may have seen some of the posters around. And we're actually out here, we're all sharing information about Islam, telling people about Islam. Do you know much about Islam, sir, or ma'am? And then they tell you yes or no. And then you explain to them, this is what I would like everyone to do from here until the next, until it starts. Think of what is your script, okay? Have a script ready in mind. You know, when you're driving to work or to school, just practice it. You know, practice your script. Make sure it has a little short part about Allah Azza wa Jal, a little about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, some of the pillars of Islam, and then say, you know, and then you might ask a question. So everything that I explained, does it make sense? Anything that caused you friction or make you uncomfortable? No. Well, you know what now? And what's the other issue we forgot? We get the name, right? Joseph. So, and you know what, Joseph? We actually now have the ingredients of becoming a Muslim Joseph. So we'd like you, Joseph, to become Joseph, a Muslim Joseph. And that's it. Use that name, ask them to become Muslim. They say yes, they say no. Whatever that from their response you can see, it is like, that means I can encourage this guy. Then you know, okay, well, I still need to explain a bit more to this guy, you know? And what if he says, no, I'm not interested, don't have time. Well, okay, well, thank you very much. At least let me interest you, and perhaps I can interest you in reading this pamphlet. If you have any questions, we're going to be here all week, every day from 9 to 3. And, you know, hope to see you around if you have questions. If I'm not here, some of my friends will be here tomorrow, right in this place. And that's it. Do you see how it's so relaxed and so easy? It's really a fun and easy thing, okay? There's no pressure. You don't have to be 100% on the, you know. So, another demo or what? Are we good? Time's up. Now? One more from me or from someone else? From someone else, right?
I say a poem on four wives.
Nah?
Poem on four wives.
Can we get serious for a minute?
No.
Actually, I've never ever said that poem with sisters in the room. Ever.
Okay, we'll shut the camera off. It's not.
But the sisters are still in the room.
Huh?
Nah? No. 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 In fact,
they're okay with it.
No. Like, let's just get. Well, if you're gonna sit for 5 minutes for a poem, let's do another demo in 5 minutes. But no one wants to go except the young man. Yeah. Now, this bad habit. When a young kid asks me, I always say no. My grandmother. One time, I was giving this lecture. The masjid was packed full of goods and stuff. And this little kid said, me? And I just forgot where I was. No, my grandmother. Yeah, you. But it went pretty well. Everyone loved it. Yes, sir. You talk to the guy right there. Tell him your name. Greet them. Tell him your name. Tell him a little about Allah, the Prophet. If you want pillars, or maybe I'll stop you there. Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar. And what's your name? Okay. And what's your background? Okay, you're a Christian. I'm Muslim. And how much do you know about Islam?
Good.
So you just, oh, you don't know much. Okay.
Very good. Keep going. If you want to stop any time, feel free, no pressure.
How much,
tell me about Allah.
How much
about
gods
Allah
do you believe? Okay.
He tells you three.
Okay, three. I believe in one God, and it's Allah, and the messenger is Muhammad, and, we have five pillars, and we play 5 times a day. In Fajr, we play 2 rakah. In Dhuhr, we play 4. In Asr, we play 4. Maghrib, we play 3.
Tell us, what's a rakah? How does one be, tell us this and we'll let you go. Explain to them how someone can become a Muslim, or what you need to become Muslim.
if you want to become a Muslim, you have to say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and you got to
which means basically that you have to believe in.
You have to believe in one God and Messenger of Allah.
Okay, thank you, we'll let you. Thank you very much, Jazakallah khair. Appreciate it. Okay, very good. But so, but now, if you did learn anything, you learned that as much as you already know Islam, you already know the pillars, you know the Shahadatain, you know all of that, you did, I hope you realize now, that even though you know this stuff, it's important for you to have this script mental. All right? So can we all do this, and just real relaxed and nice and easy, from now until the next week, can we all put together mentally what we want to say? Because you know, du'at, they always have the same thing and they go over it, and it's smooth and fast. Why? Not because they're brilliant. Because they've been doing it a lot. That's it. Smooth and fast. Okay? So, I'll give you a quick demo and then we'll end with that. Alright? So we did all the greeting. This is IAAW and all that stuff. So basically, we're out here telling people about Allah. And by the way, Allah is just, you've probably heard that name before, correct? Allah is just the name of Allah in Arabic. It's not a different God or anything. That's why when you go to an Arab country, if you go to a church there, they actually say Allah in the Bible says Allah as well. So you understand that point? Okay, great. So basically, Allah Azza wa Jal is the one God, and in Islam, He's not divisible. He doesn't have children or relatives or grandparents or anything like that. And out of His fairness and His mercy, He always sends prophets and messengers to warn people, to tell people that there is a God, to teach people the rules, the do's and don'ts of life, and to let people know that there's a day of the resurrection. And because you said you are of Christian background, you understand this concept of reward and punishment, that people will be held accountable for their deeds. And so out of the fairness of Allah Azza wa Jal, He always sent prophets and messengers to warn people. But sometimes they would kill His messenger. Sometimes they would believe in Him. But after He dies, they alter or change His religion. So again, out of the fairness of Allah, He keeps the truth here on earth. He sends another prophet and another and another. And that's why you find biblically the names of so many different prophets, Abraham, Lot, Moses, Solomon, David, and the list goes on and on. And that's why also, as in Islam, we believe that Isa alayhi salam, or Jesus, was one of the prophets of Allah. Because if you look at it, He came with the same message as all the prophets before Him. The same 10 commandments, the worship God, do not worship anything alongside Him or besides Him or with Him. So that means that it's very possible that He could have been one of the prophets of Allah. I mean, let me ask you this, not do you believe, but would you say that it's logically possible that Jesus could have been one of the prophets of Allah? So that question, logically possible, allows you to get a yes, because it's logically possible. I'm not saying, is that what you believe? Is it logically possible? Yes, because he would always say, my Father who has sent me. He would worship God Himself, like all the prophets worship God. He would tell His disciples, worship the Father who is in heaven. And again, He never once said, by the way, I'm God, worship me. He said, worship the Father who is in heaven. He worshipped Allah as well. So it's logically possible Jesus could have been one of the prophets of Allah. And this is what we believe in Islam. Then we believe that Allah Azza wa Jal sent a prophet after Isa alayhi salam. You know, 600 years later, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Arabia, and he came again with the same basic message. You know, there's still only one God that's worthy of worship. Do not worship anything else besides Him or with Him. And the Ten Commandments remain the same. You still honor your parents, you're good to your neighbor, you don't lie, you don't steal, you don't commit murder. And so is it also logically possible, and I'm not asking you if you believe this, is it logically possible that Isa alayhi salam could have been, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have been the Prophet of Allah, sent with a message similar to the message of all the prophets before him? And of course, it's another question that gets you a yes only. If they say no, you ask again. If Allah wanted, could He have sent someone after Jesus? The answer is yes. So basically, this is the most important thing about Islam. And this is the you know, in essence, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, they have a lot of things that are very similar, but we separate or we're different when it comes to these issues. And so Jesus, for the Muslims, was one of the prophets of Allah. He's one of the five greatest prophets, but still, He's a prophet and not the Son of God. And as you've probably read in the Old Testament, any accusation of any god besides Allah was strongly, strongly rebuked, or and Allah warned of it strongly in the Old Testament. So the point is, I want to, and of course I'm skipping all the parts, but I would get back and forth from them. I want to explain to you, in the time left, because I know you need to leave, the five most important issues in Islam. We've already discussed, and these are known as the five pillars. And then you would ask if they're familiar with them or not. You know, the first one, we already discussed it, is that Allah Azza wa Jal is the only God worthy of worship. He has no partners whatsoever, and that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not his right-hand man, not his helper, just his servant and his messenger. And this, then we go over the other pillars. It takes about 40 seconds to go over them. Salah, zakat, this, this, and that. Any one of these cause you a problem, any friction, so... Well, I'll tell you what, Jason, you know what? What we just discussed right now, and you said you don't have any problem with what we discussed, everything made sense to you. You actually right now, Jason, have the ingredients of being a Muslim, you know? So, you know, by the way, do you know how you become a Muslim? This is in the case where I'm trying to get him to become Muslim. It might be where I'm just trying to get him to become acquainted with Islam. But that's rarely the case for me. I'm just trying to get him to become Muslim. So here I tell him, look, you know, have you any idea how someone becomes a Muslim? Basically, to become a Muslim, there's no 40 nights or 40 day journey or anything that you have to do that's difficult. All you have to do is just say with your tongue and believe in your heart what you just said you don't have a problem with. We just agreed on these concepts. That's how you become a Muslim. So you actually now have the ingredients of a Muslim, and you're actually ready to become Muslim. So what do you say? You think you want to become Muslim right now? They say yes. Alhamdulillah. If they say no, well, okay, that's fine. I mean, obviously no pressure. We're only out here to tell people about Islam. But I'm just curious, I wanted to ask you, what would stop you from becoming a Muslim right now? And if he says, whatever it is, I'll try to find a solution for it. Go for the goal gently one more time. If it doesn't work, well, you know what, Jason? You know, it's been nice talking to you. I'd like to thank you for your time. I'd like to give you a pamphlet, and we're going to be here all week, so if you have any questions, you can feel free to come by. Or if you just want to, you know, come hang around and chit-chat, that's also, you're also welcome to do that, right? And that's it. You let him go. Take care. Did that sound very difficult? Okay. But it was a little smooth, right? Not because, I just made it up. Because I've been repeating the same thing for years and years and years. So, it's so simple. Just practice it in your car. Have some kind of idea of what you're going to... Practice it out loud, by the way. Yeah? You're alone in your car, anyways. Nobody knows you're crazy except you. You know, I used to practice a lot in my car. And sometimes I'd be driving my kid brother, small guy. I drive him to Taekwondo and I'm practicing. Every time he asked me, why do you speak to yourself? And I would always tell him, I'm practicing a speech. Then one day, I'm driving him and he's speaking to himself. I said, Khalid, what are you doing? He said, I'm practicing a speech. So, practice your speech. And what can I say? It's been so great for me. It's been so fun. I enjoyed it. I'd like to thank you all for your excellent manners, for your input, and for your tolerance with all my jokes. Sisters, I'm very, very sorry. I didn't always, you know, see it when your hands were up, and sometimes you couldn't hear. I apologize for that. I also apologize for all my, you know, crazy jokes, you know. But I was just trying to make things fun so we don't spend 2 days with just dry material. So I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope you all apply, review your notes before IAW, practice your little speech, and, you know, practice it out loud, and you might practice on your friend or your family members or your wife. And then when the day comes, introduce yourself, relax, take a deep breath, chit-chat maybe for a minute or two about something else, and then start talking about Islam. And just walk around having fun and making friends with people. It's that easy. And you have fun, and you get reward for it, inshallah, as well. Again, jazakumullah khairan for your attentive listening and for being an excellent host and an excellent crowd. There is, do you know the dates? There is an announcement about some webinar that's tomorrow that I'm doing. It's about an hour long, and the details, I think they know it. I will announce it. But jazakumullah khair again. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.